Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 146. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Alex Khalafi, Security News Writer. Alex, welcome.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me once again.
Thank you for coming to Chernobyl. we are in the podcast studio, and we are less than a week away, or no, not just over a week away from RSA Conference 2020. We are recording this on the 14th, Friday morning, and we should just jump right into it. As of this moment, as of this recording, Alex, RSA Conference is still a go. It is still on, but we've had there's some concerns about whether or not the show is going to go on, concerns that are really causing me a lot of angst as someone who is not a germaphobe, but I would say acutely germ aware. Coronavirus fears.
It's funny that you're calling this room Chernobyl.
Yes.
When we're going into a trade show in the heat of the coronavirus.
Yes.
That's where the real Chernobyl is, Rob.
I know. This is. I should relish in the safety of our little podcast studio here.
You're safer here.
More, I know. So RSA Conference, they've been posting several updates throughout the last several weeks regarding the coronavirus outbreak. It's not a pandemic. It's not an epidemic. It's not, you know, there are travel restrictions, so on and so forth. But I think at this point, there's only a handful of cases in the States so far. And nothing near the level of what has gone on in China. That said, Alex, I was pretty shocked to hear the news this week. Wednesday, the organizers of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona announced that they were canceling the show because of coronavirus. And I thought that was really interesting because that's a show I've never been. I don't know if you know much about the show, but it's a big mobile technology show. And every year in Barcelona, about 100,000 people, lots of exhibitors. And I didn't know this, but several of the top exhibitors had started to pull out from Mobile World Congress prior to the show, which is the same week as RSA. And it sort of forced the organizer's hand to cancel the show, which I think I read is the first time that they've not had the show since it first began. And they put out a notice saying, there are health concerns. There are concerns from exhibitors, and we're unfortunately canceling the show.
Tens of thousands, right, are going to RSA, though.
Yeah, like 50,000.
50,000, so that's about half as many people, except I think the difference is, not to say that Barcelona isn't an expensive city, but few cities compared to San Francisco, and it's even with half as many people, I wouldn't be surprised if RSA was a more expensive show to put on.
Yeah.
And if the zombie outbreak's not happening, like it's hard to justify pulling out of RSA.
I'm in agreement with you, and generally I know that this may sound surprising because I complain about like germs and flu outbreaks all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And you've only known me a few months, but it's abundantly clear to you. I hate going to big conventions. I hated going to CES. I hated going to E3. I hated going to Comdex back in the day because it just seemed like there was no way you weren't going to get the convention crud or convention cough or whatever you want to call it. There are people just teeming with germs all around you, coughing and just sickly. And then there are people wearing the masks. I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, canceling the show for something that does not seem to be, like, this isn't Ebola.
No, this is more like swine flu, it seems like.
Yeah, and it's not to say, like, this is not to say that this isn't a health concern. It is, but people have died from this. But it's not, I mean, more people are likely going to die from just the average flu this year. So unless this takes a really bad turn. So I guess I understand the decision by RSA and the RSA or conference organizers to continue with the show, because you know you're only talking about again a handful of people in the states that have this, and it doesn't seem like the risk with the travel ban is very high for someone to come to the show who might be from an area where there's a high degree of infections. But that said, Alex, let me read you this statement, because this really stood out to me in terms of the reasoning as to why they were continuing with the show. So they put out a RSA conference, put out an update the same day that Mobile World Congress announced that they were canceling the show. And they said, RSA conference plans to proceed as scheduled. You know, we're approximately 83% of our current registered attendees are from the United States, as are 82% of our exhibiting organizations. Travel restrictions implemented by the government on January 31st, 2020 remain in effect. And, you know, they go on to say that the health risk to the general American public is considered low at this time. RSA will continue and will follow guidance of the CDC and the WHO and so on and so forth. But so, okay. Does it really matter that 83% are from the United States and 82% of the the exhibiting organizations or vendors are,
like, it just feels like a weird flex on their part.
It does. It felt like it's like, well, we don't have that many international companies coming, so it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not some organizations from overseas can make it or not. We're gonna roll on because, you know, USA.
It does feel like America type thing.
Yeah. Now here's something I want to point out, because this is strange. When I heard the Mobile World Congress news, I thought, man, is it that bad in Europe? Is there a lot of cases in Spain? There's two confirmed cases in Spain, and I know that there was the huge surge of the China changed altered the way it was diagnosing or testing for coronavirus, and that led to a huge spike in the number of confirmed cases in the country this week, which is strange for, I guess, China to, you know, they can be pretty secretive and controlling with the information that comes out of the country, for them to admit that, yeah, actually there's thousands more cases or whatever it was than they first thought was pretty alarming. But there's only two in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. There's eight in California alone. So again, I'm not saying that RSA conference should be canceled. I just thought it was a little strange that, you know, Intel and Facebook and several other U.S. companies pull out of Mobile World Congress, mm-hmm. but they're still going to RSA. It's interesting.
I think the other thing that needs to be considered, and I say this as someone who's very ignorant of the culture in Barcelona, but I'm very curious about how the culture of fear differs between the U.S. and Spain.
Yes.
Just because the U.S., at least speaking from our region of the world, there's definitely a feeling of we're American, we can survive anything. And I wonder if Barcelona is a little more skittish than that.
Maybe, although I would even, you know, suggest maybe the opposite, that we are, like, especially with the news media, and yes, I'm referring negatively to the news media, of which we are a part of, mm-hmm. we do sort of get carried away with fears about sort of isolated things like this, and sometimes we let that dictate our behavior. In this case, we're not. I mean, it's so far, RSA conference is proceeding as planned, and there's no news about any exhibitors dropping out, whether they're U.S. or overseas. So we'll see. We'll see. For now, the show is a go. But that brings us to the next subject, mm-hmm. Alex, survival guide.
Yeah.
For RSA.
I want to live, Rob.
Yeah, so do I. So, yes. So this show, as I said earlier, convention cough, convention crud, germs, just you got to take care of yourself when you're at the show. I know in a previous announcement, RSA had said that they were going to have, you know, additional hand sanitizer stations and so on and so forth, and, you know, urging people to wash their hands and just, you know, if you're sick, don't come to the show, that sort of thing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, et cetera. But, you know, for a show of this size, you got to, I think, have a plan for what you want to do when you go into the show, know where things are, know where you're going, and know what to sort of avoid and maybe take a pass on certain things. So, Alex, if you have questions, hit me up.
I don't have questions.
Okay, no questions. Just,
I kid, of course. I have three questions for you.
Go.
Independent of the coronavirus, just things for me to know semi-selfishly about the show before I go for the first time.
Okay.
What's one thing you wish you knew about RSA before going? Like, what's one thing that you wish you knew that you can pass on to me as something for the first time I'm going to the show?
I wish I knew how long it took to get from point A to point B within the convention center.
Okay.
This is important. Moscone's been – it's big. I don't know if you've ever been there before for a show. It's big. It's not like Los Angeles Convention Center. Like, that's one big thing. Like, it's a big structure downtown. Like, for E3, like, when you go to E3, it's – big. Mm-hmm. Moscone is split up into different components. There's north, there's south, there's west, and you have to go across the street, up a block. It's spread out. And sometimes you have to wait to cross the street if you're going from north to south hall. Sometimes you've got to go up the block. You got to wait through some pretty busy intersections to get to the west hall, where there's a lot of I think a lot of the keynotes and a lot of the bigger panels mm-hmm. are. And in the West Hall especially, you've got to go up these very large escalators, and I'm terrified of heights, and it takes a while to get up there and then roam the hall. So building a little bit more time in to get from point A to point B and navigate through the different sections of Moscone is, I think, important to just build in some time and make sure you have a map with you.
So make sure I have a map with me, and then to build in a little extra time.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be surprised. There are – every year it feels like there are a ton of new first-time attendees from different organizations, different companies, banks, credit unions, nonprofits, manufacturing. It doesn't matter. They're all sort of, you know, maybe they had a network admin role, maybe they were in compliance, maybe they were in legal, and they've been moved into some component of security. They come to the show for the first time. They're always asking me, like, you know, on the bus or waiting for the shuttle bus or just milling around where there's food or, you know, how do I get here? How do I get there? Do you know where this is? And it's just, it can be a little intimidating the first time, so.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes.
Second question. What is one thing I should definitely pack?
A biohazard suit? No. tape recorder.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bring a tape recorder. Bring some type of recording tape recorder. Man, I sound old. A digital recording device, whether it's on your phone or, you know, a little mini digital, you know, audio recorder. I just think it's good when you want to cover a keynote or a panel and you want to make sure you are quoting people accurately. It's a nice thing to have. So
cool. And then my last question. So we're going to be walking tens of thousands of steps each day.
Yes.
Especially I'm actually going to probably keep a step counter with me just out of curiosity. Do you have any tips on surviving the marathon that is a multi-day show with tens of thousands of steps of walking?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say try to build in some time to occasionally get somewhere quiet where you can do some writing and just take a break and sit down and just check email or whatever. I hate going to the press room. I would go there to get lunch I would go there for the occasional hydration, just to sit down, rest your legs, get a break. If you have a meeting in a hotel, same thing. Like, get there a little early, hang out in the lobby, crack open the laptop, sit down, relax, hydrate, et cetera, et cetera. It's not hot in San Francisco, but you get the point. Like, you know how it can be when you're on your feet all day, and especially if you're coming down with something. And I hope neither one of us are in that boat, but you know that there are people there.
Because if one of us is getting something, the other one's getting it too.
It's we're on the same flight. Yeah, we're it's just this is just freaking me out. I think there's going to be a big crowd of people there, and it's just you got to watch out for, how crowded places get, how hard it's going to be to move through, and get to where you want to go, and also build in just a little bit of time to just stop and get something, get some food in you, get water, hydrate, whatever, and rest the legs. And I mean, obviously you're going to be sitting in sessions and stuff like that. You'll have a chance to sit down, but like, it is a lot of moving around. It's deceptively large. There's a lot of walking. It's very spread out, the whole convention center. And if you're meeting with certain vendors there, they might be at hotels, adjacent hotels, rather than exhibiting on the show floor. So there you go.
So build in extra time, and then make sure you have a tape recorder.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Very helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. So one thing we should note regarding sort of RSA, I don't know if it's fair to call this disruption, Alex.
I think it would be.
Fair enough. There's some big news that dropped yesterday, Thursday, the 13th. And I'll explain how this is related to RSA in just a moment. The Department of Justice announced that Huawei was – several top executives at the company were indicted on racketeering charges, RICO charges, in an unsealed indictment that was unveiled on Thursday, yesterday. And wow, man, this is racketeering, conspiracy to trade to steal trade secrets, stealing intellectual property, stealing copyright materials, just a litany of charges. And this was a 16-count, I should say, superseding indictment that follows an earlier indictment that was unsealed, I think, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's wow, it's a lot. I'm not going to go into the details of the indictment because it's a story for another time. But it's just, it's a laundry list of stuff against the company. And it comes less than 2 weeks before RSA is supposed to kick off. And Huawei, at least one executive, is going to be speaking there on a keynote panel. And that is Huawei USA CISO or Chief Security Officer Andy Purdy. And he is scheduled to speak on a panel, ironically, about, I guess, the general concerns and sort of action taken against Huawei in recent years. A panel called How to Reduce Supply Chain Risk, Lessons from the Efforts to Block Huawei. And it's Purdy's on the panel with Bruce Schneier, a security expert, and a couple other folks. And, It's quite a bombshell to drop before the show when you know that Huawei is going to be there speaking and is going to be one of the primary keynote speakers. And I don't believe Huawei is a exhibitor this year, but regardless, they have a presence at the show. I know that they've sent me some email pitches about getting together at the show. They've got some sort of presence there, even though they're not an exhibitor. Now this happens, and it's, I mean, what do you do if you're Huawei? Do you go to the show with this sort of casting a cloud over your company and your executives? I don't know.
So one of the most telling things is not to quote another news source, but I was reading the Gizmodo article.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned this. Go.
And they had a quote from Mr. Julian Koo, a constitutional law professor at Hofstra University School of Law, who told Gizmodo via a Twitter DM, "It escalates the charges rather dramatically, alleging Huawei itself is a criminal enterprise rather than a regular company that happened to break the law." Now, that's not necessarily evidence or proof, or we are saying that, but it's, if someone of this stature is saying that, what do you do if you're Huawei?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, there have been actions taken against the company in the past. There was, I believe, the CFO of the company had been charged, and there's some of the stuff in the indictment has been talked about and written about, and it was public knowledge before. You know, there was an allegation in the superseding indictment that T-Mobile, that Huawei executives had stolen a robot arm from T-Mobile. Like they were, I guess, working together, but someone from Huawei like picked up a robot arm that was used in an R&D lab and like put it in their laptop bag and walked out with it, and they stole it basically, and they returned it later, but they allegedly copied it. And T-Mobile, the news about this broke years ago. I think it was 2013, 2014, and T-Mobile sued. So some of this stuff has been out there, but to drop this and to basically, to the Hofstra professor's words, like, I mean, this isn't like a one-time thing. They say it's a decades-long, basically, effort to conduct criminal activity in the way of stealing IP, stealing trade secrets. It's stunning. And now if you're the CISO of Huawei USA, granted, you know, you're sort of removed from the leadership in China somewhat, but now you've got to go to a show and you've got to what? You know, you've got to sit on a panel about the very subject of the government taking a hard line against you and then answer to this. I don't see how they can go to the show. And I think this is going to be a topic of conversation. When things like this happened before the show in the past, it sort of, I don't want to say it dominates conversation, but it definitely changes the tone of the tenor of the show. I'm thinking of like things with Kaspersky, thinking of things with RSA faced its own allegations years ago about working with the NSA and you know, working with them to weaken encryption and you know, put back doors in their technology, which RSA denied, but that cast a huge pall over the show that year. I think it was 2014, and now you know this happens. Granted, Huawei is not RSA. Huawei is a completely different company, and they're not, you know, on the scale of like an Intel or a Cisco or McAfee or whoever, but they do have a big presence. I don't know, do you think they go to the show?
I think they go.
You think they go?
So I'm saying this as someone who has never been to RSA.
Yeah.
So take anything I'm saying with a grain of salt, of course. But their two choices are, one, don't show up, in which case they definitely look guilty, or they go and, following the cues of another company we won't name that we've been covering.
Oh, yes. That's what you're referring to.
Deny the charges outright, confidently deny the charges outright.
Yes.
Present something resembling evidence, or that PR speak would call evidence, and then just borderline brazenly deny everything, which is exactly what they're doing in their response to the indictment.
Oh, yeah. They responded to Gizmodo. What did they say there?
Here's the statement in full. "The new indictment is part of the Justice Department's attempt to irrevocably damage Huawei's reputation and its business for reasons related to competition rather than law enforcement." There's more. "These new charges are without merit and are based largely on recycled civil disputes from the last 20 years that have been previously settled, litigated, and in some cases rejected by federal judges and juries. The government will not prevail on its charges, which we will prove to be both unfounded and unfair." So if I'm a company that releases this statement,
you're going.
You got to go to RSA.
Yeah, maybe they are going. Well, that is going to be something next week, or I guess the week after.
Next-ish week.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is exciting. So, Alex, if we don't come down with coronavirus and the show does go on, we will have a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. I think you're right. I think they're going. So we'll see.
All right.
And hopefully the show does go on as planned. I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah.
I say that, and of course I'm going to get there on the ground and be completely just skeeved out and not want to leave my hotel room. But you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, yes, and we should give a quick preview to our next episode. We're going to be doing another sort of preview-ish episode where you're going to be talking about some investment data, cybersecurity investment data that you've obtained, were given, and sort of an outlook of where cybersecurity investments are going in 2020?
Yeah. The data itself may be completely public by next week, but we got a preview of some very interesting data from One Momentum Cyber.
Yeah. They do the I think last year was the first annual release of their almanac, or maybe it was the year before. I don't remember, but it's a pretty extensive. I mean, it's an almanac, but by name, but it really is in spirit too. There's a lot of information in there about investments, mergers, acquisitions, funding rounds, et cetera, so, and just, you know, going into RSA when there's a lot of deals made. A lot of handshakes, a lot of meetings, a lot of companies looking to invest, a lot of startups looking to get their foot in the door, and obviously companies that do that compete in the innovation sandbox, the 10 companies that compete there, some of the past winners there are pretty notable. There's going to be a lot of business being done there, so that'll be an interesting look at where the money's going. So good on you, Alex. Thank you for doing that.
Of course. You're welcome, Rob.
And thank you, as usual, for joining me in this podcast studio, Chernobyl, to discuss the latest. I appreciate the time. Looking forward to RSA.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for hosting, Rob.
Anytime, Alex. And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.